I'm just going with the flow, so.
You're listening to Three Wise Truck Guys from Key Advisors.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. It's Keith Ely with the Three Wise Truck Guys, my normal compadres, John Whitnell. How are you, John?
Keith, happy to be here. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure.
I lose my wise guy status, you know, so it's every one of these is a blessing.
And Mark Martinsic, how are you, Mark?
I'm doing great. Things are a little sad here in Alabama, you know, with Nick Saban retiring, but onward and upward.
Life goes on. Now you got to be like the normal folk.
That's right.
Hey, Mark, your Crimson Tide sent us one of our linemen back, and I just want to let you know I appreciate that. We needed them.
Yes, they did. Hey, so again, listeners out there, we appreciate you listening in. This is our first podcast of 2024, and as we do every year, we want to focus our time this time, and then when we get to July, just what's happening in the used truck market, and what does the forecast look like for the coming year? And as always, you know, there's a lot of moving pieces and parts in the used truck business, and John, I hope you're ready because Mark and I have got a lot of questions.
Boy, we're going to find out here pretty quick.
Yeah, well, we've got some that came in from our listeners and then some that both Mark and I have. So let's get to it. What do you say?
Just as a warm-up comment, we didn't do too bad in 2023. So let's find out if that was lucky or what we thought.
That would be great. All right. Hey, before we go there, you know, we usually do what's happening out there, what's good and not so good. Mark, I'm going to let you you lead it off this time, and I'll go second, and John, we'll just move right into you, and start after you get done, we'll start asking some used truck questions.
Let's do it. Now, I hate to beat a dead horse, but I keep seeing this contrast, okay, all over the country, and it's about retaining technicians. Everyone's looking for technicians, but retaining technicians. And you know, I was in a dealership just a few weeks ago, and the dealer was talking to the service manager and giving $2 an hour raises, $3 an hour raises to keep somebody from leaving and going down the street. And we talked a little bit about it, and that's what he does. He doesn't put a lot of value into what the technician does, but he's had huge turnovers, as you read about in the industry all the time, okay? I call it, you know, fighting the $2 raises back and forth. You steal one of mine for $2 more, I steal a couple of years for $2 more, and so forth. And really, you know, what we talk about and what works is building a place to work that people want to work at. Okay, and it's not just about dollars. And of course, it always starts with hiring, finding somebody that fits your culture. Okay, setting job expectations when you're onboarding them. Okay, there really is no shortage of opportunities for these guys. So if you're not a place where they want to work, then go down the street and work anywhere. And it's just about developing a program where your people want to work for you, and it's benefits and it's time off and it's that work-life balance, and it's enabling them to have the future that they want. And they may not all want to be technicians the rest of their life. They may not all want to be master technicians, and enabling them for other jobs within your dealership, whether it's management in the service department or another department, but supporting that and helping them, again, making a place people want to work, and that'll attract more techs. So I know I've talked about this before, but I see it more than anything else. When I start thinking about the trends I'm seeing, this one's still out there, and it's probably divided about equally with guys that just give the raises to keep the guys after they lose one or two, and then the guy down the street ends up doing the same thing, and it just escalates. So that's my two cents.
Mark, you're sure right on that, though, right? There's a lot more pieces on the table than just the hourly wage to create that environment where they want to stay. So that's not very creative, and it's also not very effective. So good points.
Yeah. Mark, anything on the good side, or was that, did you cover both good and bad on that?
Well, if you had been listening, I covered both sides.
I did listen.
Wow, that's a body slam.
I could go into a lot more detail on the upside, but
yeah,
probably time for a different podcast.
That's great. Hey, I'm gonna just do a kind of a joint comment as well, like Mark did. And mine has to do with the outlook. I know we're gonna talk about the used truck side of this, but yeah, you know, it's as in my conversations over the last 60 days, the optimism or pessimism camp has been split pretty much down the middle. The optimism camp has been, you know what? We think that 2024 is still going to be a good year. It may not be as good as 23, but we believe that 24 will still be a strong year. Parts and service will still be strong. New trucks will still be strong. And if we can manage too what's happening in the market on used trucks, it'll still be good. The pessimism is interesting because the pessimists that I've been visiting with say something like, well, we don't think it's going to be as good as we're expecting things to be a little worse. And as you dig into that conversation, what they view as a little worse is that the market is not growing. That the revenue may not grow very much or as much. They still believe that 2024 will be, quote, a good year, bottom line. But their outlook on the market is, while pessimistic, they view it pretty much the same as those that are optimistic. They both think that it's still going to be a pretty good year. And I just find it very interesting, the two camps from the conversation. One, you would think the sky is falling, even though, as they explain it to you, it's not. Nobody's expecting a big fall off. Nobody's expecting a recession. I do think people are worried about what's going to happen as we start this 8-month-long, what do you want to call it?
Election.
Drudge, right? Drudge to November.
Yeah.
You know, and the same thing's going back and forth every week. But I think the view of most people is it's not going to be a bad year. So, John, I'm going to turn it to you.
Yeah, maybe that just reflects the fact that a lot of us were raised by depression babies, right? You never get too excited about anything because, damn, it could fall off the end of the table here pretty quick. So they're looking at the same facts, but some of them are and they're seeing it about the same, but just expressing it differently.
That's
kind of fun. Yeah, well, listen, you guys, I saw the homework assignment, and it expressly said something good and something bad. So I actually... I'm going to say on the you better watch out because it's not good or bad side. Starting to see floor plan interest costs going up.
Yeah.
OEMs are now able to build more product, or at least most of them are able to build more product, so they can get you that stock inventory that you haven't had for the last year and a half, 2.5 years. And, of course, interest rates have gone up, right? So A times B equals your floor plan interest expense. And you're getting hit on both sides of that. So I'm just a warning to all of our listeners. We've gotten kind of sloppy as we've gone through the pandemic and didn't have to pay attention to all these aspects of our business. You better be paying attention to your floor plan interest costs. It could come back to bite you. And if some of that interest expense is driven by used truck inventory, you better be doubly careful. Okay, so I see it getting away from some guys out there, and you better be paying attention to that. On the positive side of the ledger, I had a couple things I was going to – I'm going to pick this one because I think it's interesting, and I usually end up on the negative side of this. But I am starting to see dealers on their websites develop a tab for news, or, you know, I'm not talking about using Facebook for your social media presence. They're using their own website to tell their own story. Every week I go out for my inventory index and I'm looking at about 20 dealers, and I'm starting to see an evolution, a shift. People are starting to promote themselves, tell their own story. Specifically, one of your clients, Keith, is Premier, and I think Premier does a fabulous job of promoting women in trucking and various industry events and establishing themselves as a as a really good place to come to see stuff. But you might go to Premier's site just to see what's going on at Premier, is what I think they've accomplished with that. So and there are a few others that aren't quite as good that I look at too. But I think that dealers are getting better at promoting themselves and leveraging their own platforms to tell the story.
That is interesting stuff. That is really interesting stuff. And that kind of ties back, Mark, into...
yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Right? That's exactly right. Make it a place where you want to work. And that all the employees see that as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I have seen dealers that have a technician of the month now, and across their however many locations they have, and they publish it on social media, but publish it, okay? Those kind of things are about retaining employees and changing your perception in the marketplace, I think. So,
you know, Mark, when you say we had a technician that participated in this technician rodeo.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
You're telling the story. We invest in our people, and we want our people to be.
Exactly.
We're coming. It's so much more.
And how does it make the group of technicians feel?
Yeah. Okay. Recognized.
That's right.
Part of the team, big part of the solution.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting, too, is we've been having some conversations with a gentleman about starting to assist us with some of our recruiting and placement engagements. And he's built some tools to go onto the Internet, not just, you know, going to look at Indeed or something like that, but to be very strategic about finding people for those roles that fit the culture and the values of that dealership. And he's built some, for lack of better terms, artificial intelligence search tools to go out and find that in various places. And, you know, that, and he did this, he's done it for several larger groups. And one of the things that he talks about is making sure that the dealership has a value proposition statement for why an employee would want to stay there and work there, or a candidate would want to look at going to work at that dealership. I think that's just so very, very true of being able to money is going to be pretty equal, right? I mean, there's nobody that's going to be $15 ahead of somebody else on an hourly rate.
Right, right. There's
just
going to let you get there.
Right. Yep.
So that's fantastic. But hey, John, can you start our conversation this afternoon just with where are we at in the overall used truck market, maybe even new truck to some extent, but certainly the used truck market correction that's taking place right now?
Well, Keith, I think that's an outstanding place to start. You know, number one, I just remind all of our listeners that in the pandemic, right, the last two quarters of 2020, pandemic, I think most people would say started in April of 20. And people figured out pretty quick in April, in those last two quarters of 2020, that trucks weren't coming out, trade-ins weren't coming in, supply of used trucks just got choked off. And so, you know, this recovery, if you will, has been symmetrical. It started in the last two quarters of 20. In 21, the market went straight up. In 22, the first two quarters, so we had eight quarters where truck prices went up. And then in mid-22, it peaked and started coming down the last two quarters of 2022. Our forecast for 2023 was pretty rugged, right? Not a lot of optimism in that forecast. And, man, that's pretty much what happened, especially in the line haul tractor side. Prices continued to come down for all four quarters of 23 And so not surprisingly, you know, the first two quarters of 2024 look pretty dire. So this if you will, this correction has been very, very symmetrical. And that's I think, probably the most important thing to remember is, you know, we will end up back in traditional price ranges. What we will never, in my estimation, see prices like we saw in 21 and 22 again.
Yeah.
This 23 was just a way of getting back into a historical price ranges that we typically see, and that will continue as we start to move into 24. So for our listeners today, one of the things, there's been a very symmetrical correction, and it doesn't help us if we're trying to think about 2024 optimistically.
So John, you said that it's carrying in, that was last two quarters of 2023, and it's carrying into 2024. Do you think that's going to impact the total market momentum or used market momentum, and is it going to last all year? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, Mark, absolutely. Absolutely. We always, when we're pulling our forecast together, try and figure out, is there a tailwind or do we have headwinds? And when we looked at 2022, if you will, man, we had some substantial tailwinds behind us. But last year's forecast, we talked about headwinds, and we've still got some of those. The biggest headwind and the biggest impact from 2023 that's going to have an effect on our 2024 forecast is what's happened to inventory levels as we move through the year. So we'll probably talk about that in a little bit more detail. But, you know, just seller sentiment, seller expectations is always set forth by what happens in the last quarter or two of 23. And I don't hear too many used truck guys that are really optimistic right now. So seller sentiment, because of what we've experienced in 2023, is a little bit down. Inventory levels moved dramatically higher as we went through 2023. So both of those are going to have a really a large effect in terms of what we see in 2024.
So, John, we've got, I'm going to kind of put my chin out there and you can knock me down pretty easily on it, but this is, you know, this is a combination of questions that we got from some listeners. What do you think is going to happen in terms of used truck demand in 2024? I think the consensus is, the belief is that interest rates probably have peaked. They might decline in 2024. You know, the recession discussion pretty much died down. Sounds like, you know, that the economy itself certainly could support more used trucks entering into the user market, if you would. How do you answer those questions? What are your observations?
Keith, first off, the macroeconomic stuff that you talked about is all correct, right? Interest rates should come down. I think that's going to help new trucks more than it's helped used trucks, right? Used trucks, typically you're talking about interest rates that are substantially higher than, and
right,
not quite as impacted by changes as on the new truck side. Okay, so there's certainly some macroeconomic stuff that paints a nice picture for us. And, you know, if you looked at industry metrics as well, Keith, fleet utilization kind of coming back a little bit. Yeah, rate expectations are supposed to level off, might even going up by the end of 20. So there is some stuff that you could look at it that you could get your head around. You could get really pretty excited and say, man, demand's going to be a lot higher next year. Of course, you remember who you're talking to.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah. So look, we every year with Navistar, we go back and we look at demand, and our assessment of demand, annualized demand in 2023, was 151,000 units. Okay, so you've seen some of my work, you've seen some of my charts. All of this stuff that we talked about, either industry or macroeconomic stuff, it'll be nice. It will help support demand at historical levels. But as we've seen, it really takes some significant dislocation, dysfunction, something really big, either a, you know, a 2008 style economic calamity, or a 2021, the substitutes for used trucks go away. And so, you know, I'm expecting though that when we looked at 2024, demand for historical line haul tractors, which is day cabs and sleepers, going to be somewhere around 150,000 units. Demand for vocational equipment, probably in the 25,000 unit range.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the only risk here is what's going to happen on the mid-range market. And I think mid-range demand is all of these things that you talked about. I think those could have some positive effect on mid-range demand. Demand is somewhere in the 90,000 to 100,000 units a year on mid-range. I think it'll be on the high end of that this year.
Okay.
This will, you know, the mid-range market did not come down in 2023 like the, it came down, but it didn't come back down to historical levels. Duty prices are still $20,000 higher. They were 40. Okay. So they've come down a bunch, but medium duty price is still really strong. And so I think demand could be a little bit higher, and that could help you if you have medium duty inventory, but it's already going to be a very friendly medium duty market in 2024. That market isn't going through the same doldrums and correction that we've seen on the line haul tractors.
Right. I know that the one thing that I've learned in our friendship of 25 years, whatever it's been, is that demand on highway tractors, even as much as we would think that it should go up because of economic reasons and go down because of economic reasons, it sticks that 150 point almost all the time, other than the two that you pointed out.
Yeah. And Mark, I don't mean to interrupt here, but you know, Keith, I know I'm out of sync with everybody else in the industry in terms of this thinking, right? When you pick up transport topics and you read what the industry pundits are saying, you would think demand whipsaws around dramatically.
Right.
But none of these guys ever take their monthly this and their monthly that, add it together and get it to an annualized basis. Okay. So these guys, they're starved for headlines and they love to read their names in the paper. But the reality is if you roll your sleeves up and you look at the Polk data and you get down to looking at names that change, that's really the only way to figure out if it was a used truck sale or not. If the name changed on the title, somebody bought a used truck.
Right.
And when you actually roll your sleeves up and do the really hard work of looking at name changes on titles and then trying to figure out, well, these really weren't a used truck purchase because this company bought that company, or, you know, it's hard work. It's about 150,000 units a year in a Class 8 line haul tractor business.
There you go, Mark. That's the John Whitnell we love.
Yeah, you know, John, to me and probably to our listeners, you are the used truck supply guy, okay? And regardless of all those other pundits, okay, you're my pundit, and I think you're our listener's pundit, okay? But can you help our listeners and me understand, you know, where do used trucks come from? Now, I know that they come from somebody that used them new, okay, but maybe rephrasing it, okay, help me understand why this supply focus and why you spend so much time focusing on it is so important.
Yep. You know, if demand is going to be stable and you can understand fluctuations in supply, then you can kind of pick where we're going to have troubles. And so, you know, look, where do used trucks come from? You know, the primary driver of used truck supply is people trading in trucks on new trucks. Okay, so Keith, we've had this conversation several times. I am vigilant about looking at what happened to Class 8 United States, U.S. retail sales each month, okay, because some proportion of those new truck deliveries have a trade-in associated with it, and it's a big number. It's a big number. That's the primary driver, but you know what? You can't ignore all the other sources. And what we've seen over the last 3 or 4 years is, you know, the major leasing companies took a bunch of trucks out of their daily rental fleet out of their used truck inventory and put them back in their daily rental fleet because the daily rental market in 21 and 22 was so strong. Well, you know, we've seen that trend reverse itself, okay? So if you're not paying attention to what the leasing companies are doing and what's happening in the daily rental market, you're going to miss a big piece of the supply equation. Used trucks come from trade-on-trades, right? Some guy running a used truck, he wants to buy another one that's a little newer, and there's trade-on-trades. Mark, probably the last big avenue where we see things in the used truck supply market come from is repossessions. Yeah. 2022, there were no repossessions. Boy, that reversed itself in 2023 and a lot of people like to talk about the spot rate market, right? And try and translate that to demand. Well, you know what? When spot rates are highly correlated to diesel fuel prices, when diesel fuel prices go up, the guys that get hurt the most are the carriers that aren't hedged, okay? Which is mostly your smaller owner operators. So when spot rates go up, what happens is authorization revocations go up, and those turn into repossessions. Okay, so we spend a lot of time trying to figure out what's happening in that. Repossessions almost nil in 2022, went up to significant numbers in 2023, and I think we're going to kind of work through that wave. There's some pretty big ticket repossessions that everybody knows about out there too. So repossession activity is probably going to tick up a little.
Well, that's interesting that you brought up repossessions, because I keep hearing that buzz, okay, that it's increasing, that it increased in 2023. Is that the case, and is it going to do that more in 2024?
Yeah, you know, Mark, repossession statistics are interesting. My estimation of repossession activity last year, probably about 17,000 units, and I'm expecting repossessions to go up to about 21,000 units this year. So, you know, and then peak at that 20,000. They'll start to go down as we look into 2025 as the market stabilizes. So, you know, repossessions, a big part of the supply equation, and important to understand what's going on there. And they have gone up precipitously from 2021 and 2022.
So you talked about the rental and lease. Is that the dumping of units by the large rental and lease companies? Is that done? And is the used truck supply, I guess, coming from trade-ins? Is that still the leading, you know, statistically or percentage-wise, that's still by far the leading source of used trucks? And I guess if that's true, how does that look? How does that correspond to the deliveries of new trucks in 2024, John?
Yeah, so a couple of questions there. Let me take the leasing company thing first. I think that was symmetrical as well, right? So I think in 2023, we've sort of seen the last of the defleeting of your daily rental fleet and putting those units back into your used truck fleet. And the reason I say that is, this last January, Keith, was really unusual. Typically, there are no, Taylor and Martin might have a sale or two, okay, and then auction time and some of the online stuff. But usually Ritchie Brothers doesn't have any activity at all in January.
Right.
And this January, Penske had three private sales with Ritchie Brothers. Ritchie Brothers had three sales where the inventory that was listed was either exclusively or predominantly Penske inventory.
Okay.
Almost 1,500 units between those three sales. So, you know, we saw auction volumes in January of 2024 go up five or six times higher than what we're used to seeing. And that's because there was some dedicated Penske activity. And I view that as kind of the tail end and the last vestige, if you will, of some of this. Now, leasing company inventory is still pretty high. But the first question was, hey, has the defleeting of the daily rental fleet kind of exhausted itself? And I think we're getting pretty close to that.
Okay.
Pretty close to that. Still a lot of used trucks in the normal course of replacing full service lease vehicles. Okay, but I think the phenomena that you asked about has kind of run its course.
Okay.
the other part of your question was, what's going on the new truck side? You know, what's your expectations for 2024 as it relates to Class 8 retail truck sales? And my model for 2024 has 230,000 units is what my expectation is for U.S. Class 8 retail sales. That compares to about 267 in 2023.
Okay.
Yeah.
So going to come down quite a bit. Now, having said that, Keith, that's still a big number, okay? Because that 230,000, when you apply whatever assumptions you make about the proportion of those units that'll have a trade-in with them, and then you add in the repos and the trade on trades and all the other sources that you think, I still think the supply of used Class 8 line haul tractors in 2024 will be about 210,000 units.
Okay.
And so if you take historical demand of 175 on the line haul sector and add in another 25, you could even get generous and call it 30 on the vocational sector. You got demand for about 175 to 180,000 trucks. You're going to have 210,000 coming into the industry. That's not how you see prices start. That's not the scenario that could build an argument around on our price is going to start to improve. Yeah. It's the foundation of my argument in terms of why I think we're still going to see a lot of pricing tension, downward pricing pressure as we look to Class 8 products in 2024.
So what happens to that Class 8 inventory then, John, this year?
You know, so every week, we've got an inventory index that we look at it, and I'm kind of seeing two things. First off, you would think the obvious answer to that question is inventory levels will go up.
And
they are still trending higher. Okay. They're not going as high as I kind of thought they might be by now, which is sort of in and of itself. But as I look to the major players in my index and see what's happening with their inventory levels, not everybody has taken their eye off the ball. The major players, the MHCs, if you will, the Premiers, if you will, the Rush Enterprises, if you will, the big players out there in the marketplace are really doing a pretty good job of keeping their inventory levels under control. What that means is, since inventories are still drifting higher, there might be a lot of other people out there that have taken their eye off the ball, and while the big players are still in a position to be buying packages at aggressive, I would even characterize as predatory price levels, there might be a lot of other smaller, mid-size and smaller players that have painted themselves into a corner on their used truck inventory. Look, I just talked about Penske selling 1,500 units at auction last week. Their inventory levels are still drifting higher. Okay, so there's two components of our index. The first is a dealer component where we look at the 20-some dealers in terms of what's going on with their inventory levels. We have a fleet and a corporate side too, and the major leasing company inventory levels are still moving higher. So the overall index is moving higher, but it appears that the dealers have been paying pretty, especially the big dealers, have been paying pretty close attention to what's going on out there.
So two follow-up questions, or one follow-up question to that, and then another question. And Mark, I know you've got one you want to ask, but
I have 47.
47 questions you want to ask. We've only got 23 more minutes, Mark. So.
How fast I can answer 47 questions.
Exactly. So I was in, actually visiting with one of the larger groups yesterday, one of the ones that, you know, that you've talked about that are really good at this. And we're preparing for one of their emerging leader courses that we do with the starting to look at the variable ops. And so we're reviewing the metrics and what their metrics and guides are. And they have moved their turn rate to a 6-turn-a-year number, and that inventory better not be there after 90 days now.
Six times a year, Keith, means you're turning your inventory every 2 months, right? And that's really impressive if you can get there from here.
Yeah.
You and I have always talked in the 3 to 4 times turn range. You know, if you're turning your inventory 4 times a year, that's 90 days. Yeah. That's damn good. If you're living and dying in the same 90-day window, that's really good.
And that's what I was going to ask you about, John, if that 90-day window was still applicable today.
Look, Keith, let's be honest with ourselves, right? Most guys, when they get a truck in, it takes them 40, 45 days to really get that truck front line.
Right.
You know, if you've got your operation streamlined so that you got dedicated technicians reconditioning your used truck inventory, you can probably do better than that. But if you have to rely on your basic shop, it probably takes you over a month to get your truck front line ready. And, you know, if that's the case, living and dying in the same 90-day window, is you can still make money in used trucks that way. That's still a great rule of thumb to try and manage your business by. I still like 4 times turn as a meaningful, achievable metric. I do have clients that are doing a lot better than that.
Yeah, we do too. What about the used MRD, the mid-range diesel inventory, John?
You know, that's interesting. I do not go to the Used Truck Association meeting, but I was talking to somebody that did. And he said, you know, there was some real criticism at the end of one of the sessions because all we do is talk about line haul track. Nobody ever talks about vocational. What's going on with dump trucks? You know, I want to feel really good about my dump truck inventory, which you might not turn 4 times, right? If you miss it, you might be happy to sit on that truck and wait for the next season. But the specific area that I was told they spent a lot of time worrying about was what's going on the medium duty market. And so, you know, my sense is, we talked a little bit about it on the demand side. I think demand's going to continue to be pretty good. Medium duty inventory is not rising. It's drifting higher, and it is still at a very historically low level. If you have medium duty and now if you got way too many of them, okay, that's a different story. And that's why you're seeing Penske take so many medium duty units to the market, is they just have got, between the combination of deflating and replacing full service leasing units, they've got so many more than they can sell and digest through their own system. But this is still a really strong medium duty market. And the reason it's strong is the supply we don't have the issues on supply that we have on the Class 8 side of the business. Inventory levels, Keith, I've always said high supply plus high inventory equals pricing pressure. And just not in that set of circumstances on the medium duty sector. Inventory is in check and, in fact, might even be still kind of hard to find. So we don't see the medium duty market different altogether. Still a very attractive place to play. Now, you know, you can make investment mistakes on medium duty trucks just as easy as you can on a heavy.
Right.
You cannot manage, you can fail to come to grips with some of those mistakes just as easy on the medium duty side of the business as you can on the Class 8. But generally speaking, the environment, the table is set much more attractively on a medium duty market than it is in the Class 8.
Okay.
So, John, this certainly is a lot for our listeners to be thinking about, okay? But talking about all these different markets within used trucks, can you kind of recap or give us a sense of how you think prices will behave in each of those sectors for 2024?
Yes, thanks, Mark. That's a real...
That's my 47 questions.
That's a real challenge on a podcast to kind of talk about that. So, Keith, you know, one of the things we normally do on this is you've seen we've got a 6 or 7 page forecast that kind of talks about all these issues that we're kind of kicking around here today on the podcast. And if your listeners are interested, Mark, this is one of those things where a picture tells 1,000 stories. I'll keep this as brief as I can, but the pictures are all in the letter that Keith has. And if our listeners have any interest in that whatsoever, Keith, please feel free to share that with it.
You will.
Rough, generally speaking, Mark, in the day cab sector, okay, prices are going to continue to come down this year. My expectation is, and you know, we sort of use the auction market in Keith, because all these channels are tied inextricably together. If you can understand what's happening in the auction market, then you'll understand what's going to happen in the wholesale market, the retail market as well. Okay, but our expectation is that prices in the day cab sector are going to start out about $10,000 lower than they started out last year. The rate of decline in 2024 will not be as high, but we will see prices by the end of for the end of 2024 in the day cab sector probably be very close to where they were in 2016, 2017, and 2019. And I mention those years because to me, 16, 17, 19, they're all, if you looked at the pricing curves on those years, they're all on top of each other. And that is what I would characterize to be a traditional used truck market. So prices are going to decline in the day cab sector. They're going to start out lower in 24. They're going to decline in an orderly and normal fashion, probably look a lot like rollout. And by the time we get to the end of 2024 in the day cab sector, prices will look a lot like 2016, 17, 19. Sleeper sector, same thing. Prices are going to start out this year probably about $10,000, $11,000, $12,000 lower than we experienced last year. But auction prices will decline in an orderly fashion as we go through the year, probably about rollout economics. By the time we get to the end of the year, prices will look exactly like 16, 17, 19. And that leaves the last sector. Medium duty is going to start out this year, and it's going to decline in an ordinary, normal fashion as well. But prices, when we get to the end of 24, will still be in the neighborhood of $10,000, $11,000, $12,000 higher than we're used to historically seeing. So prices in all these sectors have kind of become compressed, right? When you go up to the pricing levels that we observed in 2022, each month, to get back to historical levels, the rate of decline was so eye-popping, so significant. In 2024, we're going to see price declines continue, but they're going to be more normal, more used to what we're seeing in a historical sense, probably in the $1,000 to $1,200, $1,300 a month range. Certainly by the time we get to the third and fourth quarter of 2024, we'll see price declines really taper off. There's been some talk of that in the industry already.
Right.
And that's true, right? I mean, if prices keep coming down at that level, then they'll be negative before too long. And I don't think we're ever going to reach the point where you're going to have to pay somebody to take a truck off your yard, okay? That's probably not in the offing.
Call me if that happens, okay?
Yeah. Be careful, Mark. Never to be true. So, well, you know how that finishes. So, but, you know, that's kind of difficult to try and explain pricing trends without having a chart or two. But, Keith, like I say, if somebody's really interested in what I was trying to communicate there, please give Keith a call and maybe get a little bit easier process when you have the charts.
Mark, so that was number one out of 47. I know you probably rolled a few into that. Anything else for John?
I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed right now, but I really think, you know, for our listeners, picking up the charts that John has made, you know, just email us at info@keyadvisors.com and we'll get it out to you, okay,
right.
Along with John's contact information. So, it certainly enlightened me. And it'll help me, even though I focus primarily on fixed operations, it'll help me when I have dinners with dealers and so forth, know what I'm talking about a little bit.
I think one of the takeaways, and John and I don't know how long we've talked about this and actually demonstrated the number, right? But that reconditioning period of and the length of time it takes to get a truck into a saleable position just kills so many dealers.
Well, when he brought that up, I almost interjected and say, not at one of the dealers I work at, or I've worked at, business with, okay? Because that's not what we teach, okay?
Right.
There should be one of your best customers, and there's certainly an internal customer, and it should not be Well, they're captive. That's the same thing parts department does to the right. department and so forth, okay?
Right.
And that needs to be an edict. You don't need a lot of how do I do this? It just needs to be an edict.
Yep.
Condition of employment.
I know that, and I think we're on used truck study number, 52 or 53, something like that. And every time we do it, the profitability of a used truck, it drops to negative about day 82, between day 78 and 82.
Day 60, that truck becomes invisible to your retail sales. You put yourself in the wholesale auction mode. It's not the way you should run a business, but you know what? It's pretty common.
It does take
almost every dealer I've seen over 30 days to get the truck through the shop and where you feel good about putting it on the front line.
It does because, once you hit about 45 days of that thing being on the front line, you start to walk around it just like you talked about, John. It becomes invisible, and we start it all over again. So, well, John, as always, I know there's a lot of things to talk about on the used truck side. There's so many. It sounds simple, and I think we get ourselves into thinking, well, the economy is picking up or it's going down, and I got to either buy more or get rid of it real quick. And reality is, the thing I keep coming back to learning from you is that 150,000 unit mark of demand year in, year out holds pretty true. I think that's just something that our listeners need to understand is demand does not change much. It's the supply that drives these prices. So, as we look into 20, and you've done a great job as always, to detail that. As you look into 2024, anything else you would talk about with our listeners that they should be aware of, John?
Keith, just to reemphase two key points. One, if anything, we're sort of lucky we're at in this correction cycle, because the reality is while prices are going to come down a little bit more, and this is still sort of a sobering forecast for 2024, the amount of the price declines aren't going to be as high. So, as prices compress, that's really good news. The opportunity to make that massive mistake you might have made 2 years ago isn't there. Right. You might make some short mistakes, but it's not going to be that bad. The other thing I would say is, even though the forecast is sort of sobering, I have a lot of clients that made a lot of money in 23, and you can make money in the used truck business in any cycle if you stay focused on the basics. Number one, manage your assets. Number two, keep your hand on that valuation throttle with a firm grip on the valuation throttles and have a good process for making valuation decisions. And number three, consistently execute on the basics of Salesforce fundamentals. Manage your guys, set goals, manage to those goals. The basics of this business have not changed. 2024 can be a fabulous year for our users, our listeners in the used truck business, if they just consistently execute on the basics of being in and competing in the used truck business.
And I appreciate you saying that, because that's one just question I had, one from the listeners, but was, are people making money in this? Because we see not every one of our customers is by any means, but we've got a decent number that are, and I'm glad you said that you can still make money if you just do the basics of this.
It doesn't matter what direction the market's going. Obviously, you can make money when the market's going up, but there are a lot of dealers, some of them perhaps listening to this call, who made terrific money
in
2022 when it peaked, in 23 again, and they'll do quite well in 2024.
I would agree with that. Great. John, thanks as always. It's very, very insightful. Hey, for listeners out there, just a couple of things. John talked to, and Mark talked to, John's forecast document, the 2024 forecast document. You can either email info@keaadvisors.com and we'll send it to you, or it'll be on our website and you can download that. Also, Mark, we're going to be at ATD this week. hopefully we'll get to see some of our friends and customers and people out at ATD. So
I always look forward to seeing the people. Yep.
Yeah. And we have released our 2024 operation guides as well. They're on our website, keyadvisors.com. And you can, again, you can also email info at keyadvisors and put a whole bunch of operating metrics, Mark. And I think when I looked at what Jen put together, it's 4 pages.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good tool to take a quick look at all your departments as you start off the year and look at where your opportunities might be and giving us a call for help.
Absolutely. Mark, I guess the last thing I've got is you've got a scholarship named after you.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Technician scholarship. So congratulations to you on that.
Thank you. And other people can add to that endowment that you made in my name. Again, just if you're interested in doing that, it's for diesel technicians. Give us a call.
That's right. Last thing I'll end with, and then we'll just go around the room one more time. If any of our listeners do have any questions, you know, please let us know. Send us an email. You know, give us a call. Give us a text. Let us know if there's anything that that you would like us to talk about on this podcast. You know, just as a note. Our next podcast, we're going to be digging into service a little. We're going to go back and visit that service topic a little bit more, and we'll talk about that. So
that's because it's the most important department, right?
Well, apparently it is, according to John, because you can't get your darn trucks through to put on into his inventory to sell.
Did you get me with both wheels there?
I think he did, John.
It felt like he hit me with both. No, you, Keith. You're
going
to roll me right under the bus.
No.
Service wouldn't have anything to work on if you sell something, right?
I am in total alignment with you, John. So if you think I ran over you, I ran over myself.
Okay.
So, John, anything else for reports and our listeners before we go?
Yes, I want you two youngsters to behave yourself in Las Vegas, okay? It's my favorite place to leave. And, yes. Unfortunately, I will not be joining you at ATD, okay?
That's a shame.
I'm counting you guys to stay out of trouble and behave yourself, and good fortune to you in Las Vegas.
Can we count on you for bail money if it's needed?
My son will be there. You guys know him, and you should call him first. I'm going to be in bed, you guys.
He doesn't call us first. Yeah. Okay.
All right, well, again, we appreciate the time, both of you. I really appreciate it. Mark, anything before we go?
No. Sounds good.
Well, again, thanks to all of our listeners out there that tuned in today. We enjoy doing this, and we hope that you enjoy listening to it. So, until next time.
Roll Tide.
Until next time, this is Keith Ely for the 3Wise Truck Guys signing off. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to 3Wise Truck Guys, the podcast from Key Advisors. We'd love to hear from you. Send us feedback, comments, and questions to info@keyadvisors.com.